Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during August evenings. Before you head out, grab a folding chair or one of those reclining loungers so that you can lean back and look up without getting a sore neck. Take a long-sleeved shirt or a light blanket, too, in case it gets cool. And find a spot that's far away from bright lights with a clear view all around the horizon. Don't know about you, but I can't imagine August without thinking of the annual Perseid meteor shower. This is the time when you'll see many more shooting stars than usual. This shower has a fairly sharp peak, which this year is forecast for about 3 p.m. Eastern Time on August 12th. So the best time to look will be well before dawn on the 12th or the 13th, or both if you can manage it. You probably won't see the 100 meteors per hour that are possible under perfect skies, but it will be dark and you'll see plenty. A fat crescent moon should be setting just when the shower is revving up. Some Perseids appear during the evening, but they're always better from about 11 p.m. or midnight until the first light of dawn. For a long time, no one knew what the Perseids were. Some Catholics believed that these meteors were the burning tears of St. Lawrence, who was martyred in Rome on August 10th in the year 258. Fast forward to 1837. When a Connecticut bookstore clerk named Edward Herrick saw lots of meteors on the night of August 9th and later concluded that they occur every year on the same date. It turns out that John Locke, the headmaster of a girls' school in Cincinnati, had reached the same conclusion 3 years earlier. In any case, today we know that the Perseid meteors are bits of debris shed by a comet called Swift-Tuttle. Earth passes near the comet's orbit every August, and that's when tiny flecks, most the size of sand grains, slam into our atmosphere at 37 miles per second. All this happens quite high above us, about 60 miles up. Each incoming particle compresses the air in front of it, like water before a speedboat, creating a white-hot shockwave along its path. The flash of light our eyes see is that brief but brilliant shockwave, not the particle itself burning up. While you're waiting for the Perseids to show, or any other August evening really, you won't fail to notice a very bright beacon hanging over the western horizon. That's Venus, and it sets about 1.5 hours after the sun all month long. Also in that general part of the evening sky is Saturn. It's much dimmer, so wait until about 45 minutes after sunset. Then look to the left of Venus by about 4 times the width of your fist held at arm's length. Don't confuse Saturn with the star Spica, which is about the same brightness, but one fist closer to Venus and a bit closer to the horizon. It'll be easy to tell which one's which on the evening of the 13th, when a crescent moon slides in between them. Now, if you're up before dawn to watch the Perseids, or if you stayed up really, really late, you can look for Jupiter low in the east. It rises about 3:30 a.m. on August 1st, and around 2:30 at month's end. Reddish Mars pops up about a half hour after Jupiter does. Both planets are nestled among the stars of Gemini. Sadly, I'm not the early riser I used to be, so let's return to the evening sky and concentrate on those stars instead. Turn to the right from the sunset point so that you're facing roughly north. After evening twilight fades, you'll see the Big Dipper hanging from its handle about halfway up in the sky. At the end of the handle are 4 stars forming its bowl. Your outstretched fist will just cover the bowl. Now draw an imaginary line through the bottom pair of stars and follow it up and to the right by about 3 fists until you reach a medium bright star. That's the North Star, called Polaris, and now you're looking due north. Now go back to the Big Dipper and this time follow the arc of its handle to the left until 3 fifths away you come to a very bright star. That's Arcturus, the 4th brightest star in the nighttime sky. As stars go, this one isn't much bigger or brighter than our own sun, but it's relatively close by, just 37 light-years away. Arcturus is a Greek name meaning guardian of the bear, in this case the constellation Ursa Major, which includes the Big Dipper. It's also the alpha star in the constellation Bootes, the plowman. Let's say that one together. Bootes. Got it? It's from the Greek words for plow and ox. Arcturus, Venus, and Saturn combine to make a wide, pretty triangle in the early evening sky throughout the month. Look to Saturn's left by about 3 fists for a medium bright star above the southern horizon. That's Antares, the heart of the constellation Scorpius. Antares means the rival of Mars, and you should be able to notice that this star isn't white like Spica, but slightly reddish. Antares is about one-third as bright as Arcturus, but it'll look fainter than that because it's low in the sky, and its light is dimmed while passing through all the haze and atmosphere. For those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, the closer we live to the equator, the higher up in the sky you'll see the Scorpion. Those of you in southern states like Texas and Florida have much better views than I do way up here in Massachusetts. Shift your gaze to the left of Antares by a bit more than two fists. You're looking for a group of eight medium-bright stars in the shape of a teapot. The handle is on the left, and the spout, tipped down a bit, is on the right. Got it? The whole thing is about the size of your clenched fist. From northern states in Europe, the teapot is only one or two fists above the horizon, so it helps if you look for a spot with a clear, unobstructed view toward south. Now, when astronomers carved up the sky, they didn't call this the teapot constellation. Instead, you've found the main stars of the constellation Sagittarius, the Archer, and you're looking toward the center of our home galaxy, the Milky Way. If you're lucky enough to live where the sky is really dark, or if you happen to be on vacation in a rural setting, you'll see what looks like puffs of steam coming up from that spout. Those puffs are the countless stars of the Milky Way, which continue upward until they arch overhead and clear across the summer sky. And if you're unlucky enough to live where light pollution is rampant, which is most of us, you cannot see the Milky Way at all. In fact, ask yourself, have you ever seen the Milky Way in all its glory? If not, you really owe it to yourself to get out under a clear, deep black sky this time of year to see all those stars streaming across the sky like a great river of light. It's a sight you won't soon forget. For more information about all kinds of stargazing, head to skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll go exploring in and around the Summer Triangle. Until then, I wish you clear skies.